Beautiful place to be, conforming our hearts and minds and wills to Jesus, because that's where blessing is. That's where he has provided blessing. Well, open your Bibles, John 17:3, as I said. If you're just getting to know your way around or don't have your Bible, there's Bibles under the seats in front of you. John is the fourth gospel, fourth book in the New Testament. So if you're just starting to get to know your way around, that's great. That's great. We love for people to, I love to hear the rustling of pages. I love to hear the whatever sound your phone makes when you pull up your app on your phone. As long as you are in your Bible. Personally, I like the paper, but I know there's people that like that read and study God's Word in different ways. I use my phone for BibleHub.com and do some real great study aids on there. So all different kinds of ways. Have you met Jesus before? Have you? Not the blonde-haired, blue-eyed Jesus that was in all the paintings and so forth. We kind of got one out the door here ourselves. Not that one. Not the kind of the emotionless, deadpan Jesus of the movies. Usually he has a British accent for some reason. I'm not quite sure why that is, but Jesus always says, lay your burdens upon me, and I will give you rest. It's like, I'm not sure how Jesus ended up with a British accent. Have you gotten past the storybook Jesus? Kind of the one that we learned about as kids, and we learned about him, Jesus, walked on water, and he called Zacchaeus down. Have you gotten past that to who he really is? Not who he really was, but who he really is, because he still is the same Jesus, isn't he? Jesus is complex. Jesus is deep. Jesus is strong. He's not a one-dimensional character from a storybook. Jesus is about life. Jesus is life. It's not only important that you meet the real Jesus, but that you know him. And not just the know about him, head knowledge, knowing, but to know of him personally, to know the one who died for you personally. That's what this verse we're looking at is about. So let's stand together as we read. And honor his word today. Let's read. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Lord, thank you for this truth, short verse, so rich, so much there and so much in your word, that we would know you, God, and Jesus. Would you take us down that road, Holy Spirit? This morning, we depend completely on you, whether we are listening or speaking this morning. Our hope truly is in you and you alone. Holy Spirit, speak to us, change our hearts, change our minds, make us to be more like you, Jesus. For it's in your name we pray, and amen. Amen. You may be seated. Eternal life. Jesus said, this is eternal life, that they know you. Interesting. So eternal life, where does eternal life begin? Where does it begin? Yeah, well, now if it is in knowing him. When we know him, eternal life begins. It's not something that begins when we die. This is eternal life, that they know you. Jesus is praying to his Father. Again, not a head knowledge, but a heart knowledge, a personal, experiential knowledge of Jesus. And Jesus is praying, this is eternal life, that they know you. Who's the they? Yeah. He actually was initially started praying for his disciples that were right there. And then he began praying for those who would believe as a result of their witness. And that includes all of us, right? That's who Jesus was saying, that they, all of the followers' future, would know him. And that's really the whole world, right? For God so loved who? The world. It was God's will that all should come to know him. That's what Scripture teaches. But they would know you and know who? Who is it that Jesus was praying that they would know? The one true God, right? He's praying to his Father. The only true God, as a matter of fact, he said. Not the one, but the only true God. It's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's the God of Israel. It's the Christian God. There is no other. There is no other. And this is something that we have to wrap our arms around. If we really, truly want to know Jesus and love him more, it's not just the God of the Bible. He goes on to say that they would know you, the only true God, and whom? Jesus Christ, whom you, the only true God, sent. Jesus Christ, God the Son. He said, this is eternal life, that they would know you, Father, Jesus praying to his Father, and Jesus Christ, saying kind of in a third person, whom you have sent. Not just the Father, is it? It's not an either or, is it? You can do this one or that one or both if you like. No, he says that you would know, they would know you and Jesus whom you sent. It's not an either or, it's a both and. They say exactly right. It's the only one by whom, the only name by whom we must be saved. Jesus never presented himself as one of many options, did he? He never did. He was very, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's pretty exclusive. But what religion isn't exclusive? All religions believe that what they teach is truth, and the other religions then, obviously, since they don't teach the same thing, are false. That's the nature of religion, so don't think that we're somehow more exclusive than everybody else. It's the nature of a faith in a God, is that there is a belief system, and what we teach is what we believe is true, and everybody else is false. It just so happens that there is no other faith like the Christian faith, and there's no other God like Jesus. And we stand on that without compromise. There is one God and his son Jesus. Now, if we want to get to know him, we find out what an awesome Jesus he is, what an awesome God he is. We want to look at his life. Jesus cared about relationships. Relationships were important to him. Just as he was in relationship with the Father, Son, and Spirit, throughout all eternity, they were in perfect relationship and love for each other. Jesus, in the same way, calls us to know him personally. To know you is to love you. I think that was an old 50s. To know you is to love you. Yeah, sorry, that's all I'll do. I won't torture you with more. Jesus knew relationship. He created us for relationship. That's why when he was preaching and teaching his disciples, even from the beginning, what was one of the first things that he said to his disciples when he was walking past and some of his disciples were actually with John the Baptist as John was baptizing. And John said, what? Look. Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. There he is. There is the one. And some of his disciples said, Master, where are you staying? And he said, come and see. And just, come on. He invited them to come along. A year or so later, he invited them again. He said, come, and now I'll make you fishers of men. He was always inviting us along with him. Toward at the end of his life, he said, come away with me and pray. On the night that he was arrested, he was always coming, inviting them to be with him. It began in the garden in relationship. It ends in eternity, with eternity together in relationship. Jesus cares about relationship. It matters that we are like this with him. It matters. It's not just a head knowledge. It's not just a once a week. Hey, God, he cares. He cares about relationship. But you know what? He also cares about obedience. Jesus cares about obedience, doesn't he? It matters whether or not we do what he says, doesn't it? I see some faces going, yeah, it matters. To know him is to love him. In Jesus' words, to love him is to obey him. Yeah. To imitate him, to follow him, to be like him in what he does and what he says. We talked about last week this verse in John 15 where Jesus said, abide in me, remain in me, dwell, be with me in relationship. And what? You will bear much fruit. Your job is to abide with him. God's job is to bear the fruit. Yeah, we can't. How many people think you can bear the fruit all by yourself? I need him. It's time with him. Out of that is born the fruit. Fruits of the Spirit, we talked about love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. That's born out of our relationship with him. But he doesn't just leave it there. He goes on to say, if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commands and I remain in his love. This is not a legal agreement. This is a description of relationships. Okay. If I do what pleases, if I do the things that are going to bless and please my wife, how does that work for my relationship? Terry says, "Yep, all is well." If I don't bother doing things that are going to bless her and please her, if I don't bother spending time with her, how's the relationship going to be? Yeah, doesn't work so well. It's the way relationships work. Jesus said, "If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love." It's just a natural outgrowth of this is how it works. Love me, obey me, and you'll remain in my love. It's what strengthens relationships. Jesus cares about and calls us to obedience for that and a number of other reasons. We saw it in Jesus first, obviously. Jesus obeys the Father. He wanted to glorify the Father. That's why he came. That's the beginning of that prayer. But we find that we're unable to do it in and of ourselves. The scripture tells us, for what the law, and this is in Romans 8, what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by our flesh. Just rules telling you, do this, don't do that, will never give us what we need to obey them. In fact, it's the law that makes us, it points out our weakness. It's what the law was intended to do, to show us our weakness and our need for God and our need for forgiveness. But he said, God did what we couldn't do in our own flesh by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering for us. What we couldn't do, God did by sending his son. So, this is grace. Our new definition of grace. For me, maybe it's not new for you, but I'm coming to a deeper realization of what I used to understand that has become somewhat shallow. Jesus is complex. He goes into all aspects of life. Grace is God in love doing for me what I can't do for myself. That's grace. God in his love doing for me what I can't do for myself. Obey the law? Nope. Can't do it. Your job? Abide. Draw near to him. Become closer to him. Love him. Depend upon his grace. His job and grace to do for me what I can't do for myself. And that's to, it's not a will thing, it's a heart thing. If it was simply a will thing, then I could say, you need to do this and this and this. And by your will, you should be able to say, all right, Pastor Frank, I'll do this and this and this. And if that was the case, we would be the most profoundly God-like nation ever on earth because of all the teaching that there is on God's word. But it's not a will thing, is it? If it was simply my will, I'd have been doing all the things I was supposed to a long time ago. It's a heart thing. It's the heart that's desperately wicked. It's the heart that's broken. It's the heart that Jesus needs to change. And when the heart is changed, then the will begins to conform to God, to Christ. And we begin to change from the inside out. I can't change it from the outside in. Tried it for years. Doesn't work. Our job, abide. God's job, in his grace, change our heart and bring the fruit that only he can do. But you know, Jesus doesn't care just about our obedience. He cares about our burdens, our worries, and our needs. These verses just give us a picture of the heart of Jesus. 1 Peter says, cast all your anxiety, or the King James, cast all your cares on him. You know why? He cares about you. He cares about what's going on in my life. So often I go through life just carrying them and frustrated and worried and concerned, and he's saying, look to me, cast your cares, take your eyes off of the ground and off of the problems and off of yourself and begin to look to me. There's that relationship that we're supposed to be walking in. Cast your cares on me. He said, come you who are weary and heavy burdened. He cares about that. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. Learn how much I will care for you. For I am gentle and humble in heart. You will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy. My burden is light. The Pharisees at the time loved to add on to the law. So they had all kinds of things. You got to do this and got to do that. The law says this. Well, what that law means is this, 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 and this. So we'll add five more things on that describe what we think God was talking about. And this burden, this yoke that the Jews had to try to live under was just, Jesus, my yoke is light. My burden is easy. Come to me and depend on grace. Let me in love do for you what you can't do for yourself. Am I being redundant? Your job? Abide. His job? Bear your burdens. Bear your burdens. Why do you think I'm being so redundant? Anybody have any ideas? Well, we'll remember it. Sada says, we tend to forget real quickly. Yeah, Wendy's saying it's the opposite of what we do. Our flesh wants to do it ourselves. And I know this because I'm flesh too. And we want to do it ourselves. And we need to get it in our heads. Our first responsibility, our first thing to do, what's going to be best for us and everything in our lives, is to make that time to abide, to quiet ourselves before God, to be in His Word, to listen. And how many times does life rush you past that? Too many times. I am fighting that fight all the time of not running past my time to abide and be with Him and taking that abiding presence with me all throughout my day. So I'm being redundant because our tendency, my tendency, is to go right back to my old habits of, okay, on a good day, read my Bible, maybe I'll go through my prayer list and out the door until tomorrow or maybe next week. That's just the way we are. Abide. Change. Let God change who you are from the inside out. Don't let life run you past the place where the fruit is going to come from, because it won't come of our own efforts. Jesus also calls us to take up our cross and follow Him. Gentle Jesus? Nice Jesus? He doesn't really want me to, like, be uncomfortable, does He? Would He, like, ask me to give things up? Like finances? Or time? Or vacation? Or, I mean, He really wouldn't want me to. God would not ask His children to experience pain. I would never want my kids to experience pain. So God will never ask me to experience pain. Would He? Did He? Yeah. We see it quite clearly in His relationship with His Son. He asked His Son to come from heaven, experience humanity, experience pain, betrayal, death. God does. He asked the Son to come and die for all of you and me, myself. Now, Jesus is, and at some point in time, for most of you, and probably at some point in time, all of us, Jesus asked someone to share the gospel with you. How many people can think of the person that was instrumental in sharing Christ in our lives? Let me see hands. Yeah. Somebody, God said, go out of your way and share with that person. Go out of your way and love that person. Go out of your way and give of yourself to that person. And they did that for you. And as a result, you either know about Jesus, you put your faith in Jesus, and you're following Him. So, now He's asking you. He asks each and every one of us to share Christ, to love others, to dwell in His presence so that we can be empowered, so that when God does call upon us, we're already filled with the Spirit. Yeah, He calls His beloved ones. and we are his beloved. Just reading through Song of Solomon, differing opinions as to whether that's an allegory of Christ and the church, but I think about how the beloved and the lover loved one another so much. They wanted to be together like nobody's business. They loved each other so much. We are loved. You are loved by God like you will never know. And he loves you, I mean others around you, just as much. So much that he would send you to do something very difficult. Yes, he would. Because he loves them, just like he loves you. That's the Jesus whom we serve. He loves, and yes, he will call us to take up our cross because he loves. It was his example. His disciples followed him. His disciples, many of them died. Well, they all died eventually, but they gave their lives. Jesus said, you'll have no place to lay your head, right, if you follow me. If you're going to follow me, no more being first. You're going to be in the back of the line. Last will be first. Yep, I'm asking you to give up your life. If you want to follow me, you need to be willing to give up your life for me. Yes, I am saying you may need to give up your life. You may need to even put me ahead of your mother or father or brother or sister. Yeah, you might have to do that. That was Jesus. But he also said, if you seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, all these things will be added to you. Everything that you need, God will bless you with. So much more I could go into with who Jesus is. But do you know him a little better now? What a Jesus, what a God that loves us, and not just us, but the whole world so much that he would do what he's done. I'm going to close in a song. This is a nod to, we meet together on Wednesdays with our Connect group, and we often just sing a couple of songs, and before we pray, and we pray for all kinds of things and people. I don't have my pick here. But one of the songs that we sang was, I'd Rather Have Jesus. And I jotted it down. I thought, wow, there's a message to this song. I'd rather have Jesus than anything. And it really is the heart of this message. No matter what is going on in our lives, God loves us so much. Jesus expressed his love so powerfully and perfectly. I just want to love him more. Let's just bow our heads for a moment to pray. Lord, there's probably people in all different kinds of places in relationship to you, Lord. Some just finding out more about you, others walking closely. If you're here and like Zacchaeus, maybe you're in sin and you know it and you're fighting it, or you stop fighting it, but you know God is calling you to follow and obey. Like Zacchaeus, he calls you to have lunch with him. He calls you to sit down with him. He calls you to turn away and follow him. In grace, he will be the one that helps you and draws you back to the Father. If you're in doubt, maybe like the woman at the well, just struggling with life, don't really know if God's real, he will reveal himself to you if you would open your heart and just be honest with him. Come to him in honesty and humility. God will reveal his heart to you. Maybe you're in self-dependence and pride, and It'd be like the rich young ruler. You think, I've got this figured out. And Jesus is helping you also to recognize that you need him. You've been doing it on your own. And you need to come humbly before him and say, I need you. I want you. I want more of you. Maybe that you're feeling hopeless. Like the woman who needed healing from an issue of blood, and if she could just get close enough, but he always seemed so far, and yet she grabbed the hem of his garment, just a touch. Jesus would heal, and he would. Lord, I pray that the words of this song will just minister to each and every one of us and help us to know that you are just a prayer away of coming to abide with you, and you will be faithful to meet with us there.